Anyone who saw Claire Ender's presentation at the top of the morning will have been struck by the extraordinary competitive pressures that face all media businesses today. It is a time of flux and change and general messiness like we've never known before. And it is pretty tempting in that brave new world to venture that all the old orthodoxies can be chucked away. I know Charlotte Moore knows far better than that, because in her role as Director of Content for BBC, she continues to see each and every day the extraordinary power of something rather old-fashioned called telly. Last year was BBC One's most successful in nearly a decade, with 42 million people tuning in every week. 42 million, about three quarters of the UK population. And in a world of fragmentation and choice, it shows the enduring power of the television. Now, Charlotte was once merely the controller of BBC One, but now she surveys the entire TV waterfront for the BBC. BBC One, Two, Three, Four, and the newish kid on the block, BBC iPlayer. And because all of that only keeps her occupied for a couple of days a week and leaves her far too much time to spend with her family, the Director General has recently asked her to take over sport as well. So she looks across the entire content waterfront. Now, it's easy to see Charlotte's role at the heart of British cultural life in numeric terms. Hundreds of thousands of hours, £1.6 billion of commissioning power, 52 million viewers a week across television. But that doesn't tell you why Charlotte does what she does or how she goes about it. Because despite being one of the senior leaders in the BBC and unarguably probably the most influential, Charlotte has stayed absolutely true to her creative roots. Quotas and policies have to be complied with, of course, but Charlotte is a woman driven by the idea, the talent, the opportunity to produce standout programming on the biggest national stage of all. It's what still excites her, and better than that, she lets it show. And her CV, dare I suggest, indicates that she's rather good at the creative stuff. Dr. Foster, The Night Manager, Peter Kay's Car Share, The Call Centre, Planet Earth, The Bake Off, and portraying an earlier life in documentaries, The Remarkable Protecting Our Children, 7-7 One Day in London, Between Life and Death. Charlotte, we're delighted to have you here, and I'll invite Charlotte and Jane to come to the stage.
Not quite sure which seat to choose. Look, I'm friendly and sit too far away. Hi.
Right.
Hi, Jane.
Charlotte.
Hello.
It's great to have you
very
here
nice
today.
To be here.
And it's good to see such a full hall. That's fantastic. So what we're going to do is there'll be a range of questions that I'd like to ask you, and then I thought we'd open it out to the floor, because I'm sure you've all got a lot of questions that you want to put forward. And I thought I'd start with the fact that this is quite a big week for the BBC, in that it's your last week under current arrangements in terms of regulation. Ofcom take over on Monday. And I just wondered what impact you're expecting that change to have in terms of commissioning strategy, thinking about scrutiny of services in terms of that public service versus commerciality remit in terms of content. And I wonder if you could comment on that.
Well, I think, you know, with the new charter in place, I think the commitments that we've made in the new charter are what will guide us through the next 11 years. We're absolutely committed to, you know, being the UK broadcaster that is for the UK, for the UK audience. And, you know, those reach figures and the people that come to our channels and that Rodri was talking about are absolutely what we're here to do. Mm. And I think, you know, whereas a lot of other broadcasters have got all the pressures of you know, commercial pressures that they have, I think, you know, the unique thing about the BBC is we are funded by the licence fee, we're a public service broadcaster, and absolutely that has to govern, you know, what we make and what we do and what we put out there. And that commitment to make programmes for an increasingly diverse UK is absolutely what we're committed to do. And I think, you know, whether that's in the nations or out of London, that's absolutely core to the charter and core to what we've committed to. And when I say diversity, I mean diversity in all its forms, actually. And I think, again, we're committed to, I think I've always said on BBC One, I feel we must make programmes on BBC One that there is something for everyone to enjoy every week of the year. Mm. And that is, you know, we're a mainstream broadcaster. And the great thing is we've got all these other platforms to make sure that we can also make programmes for people who have different tastes and different needs and different interests. So, you know, we're incredibly privileged to be a broadcaster that makes programmes from all those mix of genres.
Well, it sounds like Sharon White, who is Ofcom's chief executive, is kind of warming to her theme and her new task as of Monday. And in a parallel universe up in Salford at the moment, there's the Nations and Regions conference at which Sharon's been speaking. And she's been talking extensively about their new remit and has been talking about what, in her view, is a need to hold the BBC's feet to the fire in terms of real commitments and actually stipulations and targets in terms of particularly the BBC's minimum of originality on screen, which they think should be 75%. And she's also gone further to talk about a commitment becoming a regulatory requirement of 50% of all network programmes to be made outside of London. I just wonder
so the parallel world has been, so obviously I'm not across the detail yet, but you know, obviously our commitment to, you know, out of London and our targets to in the Nations and out of London is already absolutely there. It's in the charter, it's what we're driven to do. And it's been a commitment that I think is only increasing. And I think that commitment is not just about what we spend in the Nations and creating a sustainable creative basis across the Nations and out of London. I think it's also, most importantly in the charter, and Rodri and I have talked a lot about this, is portrayal is something we're absolutely committed to as well. And we have, you know, and I've spent a lot of time with my commissioning teams setting them objectives to kind of really make sure that portrayal does become a really important part of that, because we all know, and you know, Wales has a fantastically successful creative base, both in the indie sector and BBC Studios, and that's fantastic. But that's very much me, you know, has been hugely successful in terms of what we're spending in the Nations and what's being made here. But we really, really want to make sure that we are encouraging Welsh stories, Welsh voices, Welsh perspectives, whether that's, you know, directors behind the camera, whether that's writers. And this, I think, has become an increasingly important part of what we will set out to do to try and improve on where we are already.
And how far is that, do you think, a function of really needing to get behind the kind of indigenous indie sector and production sector here in Wales? Because one of the other things that that Sharon was saying this morning, and I quote, is that she's thinking of revising the code so that regional indies are not staffed by people travelling to and from London. And I just wonder if actually that's a helpful thing in terms of really getting genuine diversity of voice and genuine
I've worked
portrayal.
In the indie sector. I worked for IWC. I absolutely know what it's like to build a sustainable business and how, in an increasingly freelance world, there are all sorts of challenges when you run an indie and how you do that and how you make sure that you create sustainable bases. And I think, I think that is so important. And I think anyone who knows me and has worked with me knows that I don't believe that we do these things by ticking a box that isn't real. The only way to create an industry where there are enough jobs for people who can grow and you know, that talent pipeline, which I would say is another critical thing that the BBC is here to do. We are here, and that's part of the portfolio structure that we've created across content, is that we're here to grow talent. And if we're going to grow talent and voices and perspectives and attitudes and stories from all over the UK, we need to do that by nurturing those voices. And the only way you do that, in my view, is in a grassroots way. And you have to support the indies, and you have to not just think about here's one commission, you have to think about how we're going to increase that dialogue and grow that dialogue. I think, Rodri, again, we've talked a lot about, you know, the new 8.5 million that's been put into English-speaking programmes made by the Welsh for Wales. And I think that's, and I love the fact that you've been very committed to saying, let's try and help make sure that 50% of that, let's set ourselves a plan that 50% could appear on the network to help with those portrayal targets. Because I think that will, again, increase the ability for people to feel that their programmes are being shown on the network. And again, I would hope that that would be the pipeline for us to, you know, continue to commission.
Does that go far enough, though? Because there is an argument that actually the only way to really create a step change and to really grow Indigenous talent in a nation like Wales is to have a commissioning editor who is based in Wales with full licence and full remit to commission Welsh programming for the network, for the UK network, who has a meaningful pot of cash and has got clout.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, the money that's been put into Wales, that is a meaningful pot of cash. I think anybody who works in the creative industry knows you've got to have the best people for the job. I think it's fantastic when someone like Stephen Wright in Northern Ireland, he was from Belfast, he's done an extraordinary job in building drama in Northern Ireland, and when it works like that, I think that's the best of all worlds. The most important thing is that we have the very best people who are the best people to work with the Indigenous sector to come up with the best ideas. And we all know that, you know, commissioning and coming up with ideas and that dialogue and being really connected both with the network and what the network wants, but also with, you know, who the talent are in the region and in the nations is incredibly important too. It's a skill. So I am, it's very important that I think of audiences first, and I'm getting the very best ideas and I'm getting the very best programmes. But absolutely, with that, we are totally committed to making sure that we help that pipeline of ideas and talent.
And in
so
terms
it goes
of
hand in hand, in my view, and it is about sustainability.
And in terms of how that works in real life, I mean, obviously it's fantastic to see BBC Wales growing and, you know, the kind of investment that's happened here, particularly around drama, which is great to see. But it is a reality, isn't it, that people buy from people. And actually, in terms of network commissioners who are based in London, that, okay, there can be some fantastic conversations and Rodri and his team can be wonderful filters. But how does your team in London really get to understand?
It's incredibly important that we all get out, and that, you know, if you are based in London but you have a remit, you spend a lot of time in the region or the nation that you are committed to growing. It's not something you can just sit there, you know, just doing it over the phone or an email. You know, that's absolutely a core part of the job. And, you know, I want all of my team, again, if you set objectives, that's what I expect of them. I really hope that is done with you know, and you need to tell me if you feel that's not happening. But, people absolutely have to spend time. And as I say, fantastic, we can grow people that actually are from those areas. And we want to do that across the whole of Britain, you know.
And you mentioned the 8+ million that's now been apportioned for content from Wales, which is great, really big step forward. Obviously, Scotland have done better. And I just wondered if you could talk to us a little bit about, you know, is the opportunity around an iPlayer channel that Scotland have, is that likely to be coming our way anytime soon?
Well, again, I think it's the needs for each nation and those, you know, and what the conversation has been. And I think Rodri's been very clear about what he feels the needs for Wales is. And I think Scotland have been very clear about what they want to do. And obviously the money is all based on population and, you know, it's a percentage of the spend. And, you know, we actually in Wales, you do an extraordinary job of always exceeding the targets. But that's not to say, and I think this is where Rodri's been very clear about where he feels we need to make progress and where we need to grow. And, you know, we were only talking just now about, it's really interesting, the great cultural heritage that you have of comedy in Wales. And it would be fantastic, wouldn't it, to find the next Gavin and Stacey. You know, we're working with Ruth Jones, talking to her in her company about, you know, bringing in the next ideas. Rod Gilbert. When I think of, you know, if I think about Call Centre, which was one of the commissions that I did when I was head of Docs, you know, great sort of factual comedy spirit to it. And I'd love to kind of feel that we were really looking for that new talent and that new writing talent. We've just recently, I know, started the Writers' Room in Wales, and Rodri was telling me 180 young writers were at the festival the other day. I'm going, that's good. So out of those 180, it's really for us to try and nurture the talent, and I need your support to do that. And I want it to be from companies based here to help nurture that. And so I would hope that some of the 8.5 million helps to give people that chance and then grows them, and that we all get to share the things that they're making and that the short. And, you know, that's the great thing actually about BBC Three. Mm-hmm. We're able to do shorts, we're able to do short form docs, we're able to try things in different shapes and forms, which I think gives great opportunity to new talent. Because, you know, you have to think about someone like Asim from People Just Do Nothing. Mm. You know, he cut his stuff on YouTube. It got spotted, People Just Do Nothing came out of it. We need to be scouting for new talent. And I love the fact that there's a writer's room that will help us do that. And that there's somebody scouting there for both, you know, drama and comedy.
And in terms of that sort of talent pipeline and talent development and actually just quality of ideas and relevant ideas, I just wonder if there's an element of challenge here as well, back to the Welsh production and independent sector, in terms of, are you getting the kind of ideas you want? Do you think that the message about what you need is out there enough, or is there more that that both sides can do to somehow meet in the middle?
Gosh, it's a complex web, isn't it, going, what do you need? And obviously it's across lots of channels in lots of different ways. And obviously it's not about looking at what we're doing already to know that we want more of the same, because again, we're absolutely committed at the BBC that we don't just do more of the same, but we push the genres to do the next big thing. I mean, that's absolutely what we're committed to do. But I would hope that, you know, that anybody trying to think about what next, knowing what we are doing across the channels and understanding in the various genres that you might be expert in, where you can see it going, and coming to have that conversation that says, what about moving that on and how about if? You know, I think that, you know, honestly, the ambition and the commitment and the desire is there. So I would say this is a very exciting time, because it's not just about spend. It absolutely is about portrayal, and it is about voices and perspectives and stories. You know, if I think about some of the stuff that, you know, I've done through Wales, which was, you know, when I worked in Docs, you've got a strong tradition here. We made Lambing Live here. Mm-hmm. I worked with Tim Green. We did all sorts of fantastic Last Chance to See, I remember, was a big series that I did. You know, there is a big wealth of opportunity here. I would love to feel that there was more of those sort of big ideas coming as well, because we can help support that. We can help support, you may not have done something, but how about if we help get, you know, the right expertise in? Mm. So I suppose I would beg of you, going, there's an open door, there's a real will, and so I would hope that people would think big enough and really try and enter into that dialogue, because the will's there.
And you've talked about your passion for storytelling and narrative, and that's certainly something that you're well known for across the industry, is a real desire to bring great stories to screen. And you've also talked about, you know, the potential for Wales to develop comedy, for example. When you look at your schedule, and when you look at the sort of future and the gaps, where are the big gaps? Where do you think, gosh, I just cannot get a decent laugh out loud comedy, might be one, or children's?
Look, fortunately, there are gaps, and the gaps, the moment you fill them, the next gap comes up, because time marches on. So there are, honestly, I would never say there's no genre that I go, we're all closed for business, don't worry about it. There are lots and lots of gaps, and those are across daytime, across peak as well. So you know, really, there's a huge need, and television's moving very fast, and we are trying to be much more reactive. So I don't have, and I really encourage my teams, both on the channels and in commissioning, not to kind of go, no, we don't have any gaps for another year, you know, because I think we have to be responsive. The world is changing. We have to, if a story needs to be told, we'll move things in the schedules, we'll adapt, you know, and I think that's really important. So some ideas obviously are slightly more timeless than others, and it's also incredibly important to me that we make things with the proper time they need. And for instance, a new writer needs the time to perfect, you know, and I like to give people the time to make sure that when they hit the screen, they've really put, you know, we want high quality pieces. However, if it's something very timely, we'll make room. So look, I think comedy is one of the hardest things to find the talent and to grow it. So I would say Shane is always hungry for new, and as much as you know, we don't, as much as the slate, you know, might appear, we know what we're doing for the next year, there's always gaps, as I say. I'd say in factual there's huge opportunity, and in entertainment, I mean, you know, The Voice, Bake Off, they've moved on, we need to be funny. That's created huge creative opportunity. As much as one doesn't like to see those titles go, there is a great creative opportunity for people to think about, you know, what of that tone, what can take me into that world.
Well,
so
let's talk about Channel 4, actually, being as you haven't mentioned it, but you kind of did with Bake Off, obviously. But there's been a number of things again happened today around Channel 4, with the Culture Secretary sort of being as strong as she has yet in saying that Channel 4 may need to move out of London. There's a very real need for them to look at that now. They've countered that with suggesting that wouldn't be best for their business. Right. But in terms of how they operate at a grassroots level, you were talking about partnership earlier and needing to support, or being willing to support, indies to develop. My observation would be that Channel 4 are quite good at putting pots of cash for development out there, and really putting boots on the ground to genuinely help the kind of nearly indies who are just about to make it big to actually make it big. And I just wondered how you feel if they are moving out of London, or indeed if, as a counter to that, they might want to put more emphasis on commissioning out of London, and particularly in the nations. Does that fill you with fear?
Well, again, this will happen when I'm on the train. I'm not here to comment on Channel 4, but I do think we all know that if you're going to have sustainable bases, it's really important to have enough work for everybody so that, as I said earlier, it's an increasingly freelance community television. So it's incredibly important then in all the areas that, you know, that we make sure there's enough work for people to feel that they don't have to all move to the centre. So, you know, BBC Three is moving to Birmingham, and that's going to be a great thing. And I think, you know, Birmingham's an incredibly diverse city, and I think it's going to be great for BBC Three, because that's what BBC Three is all about, young diversity. So I think, you know, again, supporting, whether it's in Cardiff, whether it's in Bristol, whether it's in Glasgow, whether it's in Belfast, Salford, you know, all of these bases are incredibly important to us. And it is about having enough work and enough buzz and enough range of genre for people to feel that there is a place for them. And I think that's why it's fantastic to have, you know, an increase in the money that we can spend on Welsh programmes, but also try and help those programmes get onto the network. You know, something like Rod Gilbert, which again, I loved his work experience here, that was a great example of something which started in the Nations and then became a network show. And I would love to find more of that. And then you get something like Decline and Fall, which is about to start this week. And that's something that, you know, with Welsh Government support, mm-hmm. at Pinewood, do a big drama based in Wales. That's a really good story. So I'd love to, you know, you've got to do all these things all at once, haven't you, to make a difference.
And along with that sort of extra commissioning money, does that also come hand in hand with a kind of development dowry to help
fund, which again, and obviously we were alongside, you know, development money mm-hmm. that comes through the commissioning teams. And I should have mentioned the £2 million a year, which is there for the portrayal fund. We're trying to use it really judiciously because, of course, we're also trying to make sure that some things should just happen as business as usual. A bit like with the diversity fund, which I'm sure many of you will know about. That's, again, it's not about saying the next series of Luther, let's develop it through the diversity fund. You know, those things mm-hmm. will happen anyway. And I don't want it to always feel like there's a sort of ghetto money. It should be, this is to really push the boundaries further. So the portrayal fund, we're doing things like trying to create those partnerships in Scotland, particularly where we have more of a challenge to create a sort of sustainable drama model. We're working with ideas that perhaps where people want to take a programme or a series out to, so it might be a returning strand and they think, let's set the next series in, but it might increase the location, you know, the sort of changing location, so let's support that. So we're trying all sorts of different things with that, and it's just started. It goes live in April, but we're already, and there's more money to spend from that. We haven't spent it up, and it will be every year. So that's really with the intention, again, of making sure that we help these grassroots and that we support new talent.
Let's go right up to a different kind of stratosphere, which is the BBC's role as a global player in a market where we're seeing Google, Netflix, these are global brands and global broadcasters and more fundamentally global commissioners. I just wonder how far you feel that the BBC's title as the British Broadcasting Corporation in its traditional sense is relevant, and I suppose attached to that, how do you keep the BBC relevant in this kind of global market?
Look, we are licence fee funded. We are a public service broadcaster. We are absolutely here as the British Broadcasting Corporation. That, in my mind, is absolutely what makes us distinctive and core to who we are and what we do, and we should commission absolutely with that in mind. I think, fortunately, we live in a global world where actually a lot of our content, a lot of our stories take Happy Valley. Happy Valley is so, you know, of the place that it is made and of the voice that it is, you know, that wrote it. I mean, Sally's an extraordinary, it's absolutely authentic, you know, to its location. That has become a huge hit. So much so that I once met someone in Netflix who said, have you seen our Happy Valley? And I went, your Happy Valley? I think you found that our Happy Valley. But it's incredibly popular. And it's popular because actually we live in a global market where people are seeing more and more of our drama and they like what we do. So I think that global perspective and the great brand that is the BBC, that whether it's Planet Earth 2, that again, you know, David Attenborough on Planet Earth 2 has just done amazingly well in the States. You know, that brand travels, which brings money back in, which allows us to make, you know, more content. So I think we absolutely want to embrace that. I think, you know, Amazon and Netflix, you know, we know those are big global brands that go take their content around the world. And I think we want to be able to harness as much, you know, co-production funds as we can to help bring into the sector here. So, but that doesn't mean that we're not making programmes for our British audience, because that's absolutely core to what we do.
But how far does their impact globally affect your ability to bring in the best kind of programmes? So I'm thinking about bidding wars, I'm thinking about their ability to land big sums of cash on the table for titles they really want.
Fortunately, I think, again, what the BBC's here to do, I don't believe we should always be paying vast sums of cash. You know, that's not, we are here. And actually, I was going to say, fortunately, I don't always think that vast sums of cash equals the very best programmes. Actually, some of the very best programmes come from the passion of someone wanting to make it. And that's what we're here to do, is to offer. And, you know, that's why I think it's so important that we've got to be the broadcasters that everyone wants to work with. And that actually it's a joy to come and work with our commissioning teams, and that you want to, and you know that we're helping and nurturing and working with new talent. And that's what we offer. We also offer the most extraordinary, you know, our services and our channels and iPlayer. You know, a lot of people in this country watch a lot of what we do, and we manage to give our programmes and our content extraordinary reach. And they reach a lot of people, and they get people to talk about it. And, you know, look at The Replacement, a Scottish series that's just been on. That was, I think, if it had landed, you know, on an SVOD service somewhere, would it have been the thing that everybody noticed, a beautiful three-parter that everybody's been talking about? And I think, you know, it really did pick up a momentum. And that's something that I think we can uniquely give to people, is you know, we've got this amazing platform and a window for content. So I think, you know, it's all about playing to our strengths. And fortunately, you know, you only have to look at the talent, whether it's Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman, or whether it's, you know, Idris Elba, who's still, you know, these are big global stars. You could be working anywhere, but they love working for the BBC and they want to work with us. And I think that's what we have to hold on to. And that is that passion for creativity, backing people's ideas, backing new talent, taking risks. Again, that taking risks, where I don't have to put it through, I mean, like, you know, it's a huge privilege, I don't have to put it through some commercial, is this going to, you know, make the money that we need? I just have to go, do I think this idea is going to punch through and move the genre on? That's a huge privilege. I'm not saying we always get it right, but, you know, our commissioning decisions are made from the point of creativity.
And that's a really interesting point, because actually in this sort of different digital global market, and with content coming from every different source and from non-traditional suppliers, and, you know, some of the biggest ideas are coming from, you know, a sort of 16-year-old who's got a great idea for a program that they can generate, you know, via Facebook or YouTube or whatever. How far is the BBC geared up to embrace content from a really radically different diversity of supply?
I think we are. I mean, I think that's obviously, you know, anyone knows when you go looking on YouTube, you can spend a lot of time looking at all sorts of stuff, can't you? So the quantity that's out there. But I think, you know, our moving BBC Three online, which again was a big risk, but it's absolutely opened us up to a new way of working and the new way of finding talent. So we're absolutely embracing that. I don't think we'd be as successful as we are at the moment. I'm not saying we don't have further to go if we weren't embracing that, because we've got to stay relevant to a big, broad audience. And that is about moving with the times and being very aware about how people are watching and where they're watching and what they're watching. So we're absolutely, you know, tapped into that. And we spend a lot of time in commissioning talking about programmes and you know, from elsewhere, from beyond the BBC, trying to understand, you know, the needs of audiences and the interests. So, yeah, I really believe that.
And what's your proudest non-traditional commission in terms of something that you thought, gosh, that really is, for the BBC, breaking the boundaries?
Look, I hope we make quite a lot of them. And obviously, when I say my commission, these are all very much, I hope, again, anyone who knows me knows that I don't, it's, you know, it's not all about me. I have this amazing team who absolutely work with me to try and pick those. But I suppose the one that I did kind of go gulp was Taboo. I think Taboo, when Ben Stevenson and I, when we talked about it, probably is 2.5, 3 years ago, with Matthew Reed, I think we went, okay, let's go for it. And obviously amazing talent, so on one level it wasn't that, but I did, it did feel very different to anything BBC One had ever commissioned. And I think that's been a really great way of sort of going, we can make drama that people don't necessarily expect would be exactly what we make. And actually, it's incredible. The audience have moved so much that I think people really embraced it and were like, brilliant, this is great. You know, and a certain audience thought, I haven't seen anything like this before on the BBC. And putting it on Saturday night, you know, it felt like we were creating another place. And that's been a huge success for us, not just on its linear viewing, but actually by creating the space and doing something different. It's been extraordinary watching how viewing habits have changed, and that on iPlayer, that's increased and increased and increased. Usually it's sort of the 7-day window. Absolutely not. This has been as a box set on iPlayer. It's been something that has, you know, had extraordinary figures, and it's our biggest iPlayer drama, you know, after The Night Manager in 13. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think keeping up with audiences and audience habits and giving people choice of where they want to watch, when they want to watch, what they want to watch, is, you know, we've got to keep up with the times.
All right. Well, that was great. Thank you very much, Charlotte. I'm going to open this up to the floor now. And if when you're asking a question, if you could wait for the mic, most importantly, but also if you can say who you are
and where you're from,
and where you're from, that would be really helpful. So, first question, gentleman there, please.
Martin Ingram, Wales & Co. I wonder how you think the whole contestability process can be improved after the first tranche.
Well, I think, you know, obviously it was the first time from everybody's point of view that we'd been through something quite like this. So I think we are currently going to be looking at how do we simplify it, make it, you know, easier for suppliers to go through the process, because we realise it's a huge amount of time that goes into any pitch. And I think this process, because of the nature of it being a programme or a series that we want to recommission, and it has to be an incredibly fair process all the way through. So we recognise it's a huge amount commitment on everybody's part. So we need to actually make sure that the way we've done it actually works for everybody. And that's why I think we're going to spend a bit of time trying to work out how did everyone feel about that process. What were the things that worked or didn't work? Did we, you know, in order to make sure that when we go into the next batch of titles, that we all feel we're doing it in the best way.
Has that answered your question? Okay, there's a couple of questions. Three questions over here. Gentleman there.
Hi, I'm Lee Waters. I'm a member of the Assembly's Culture Committee. Just want to ask you about portrayal and commissioning. And you mentioned the success of a commissioner coming out of Northern Ireland and then getting commissions from there. And as pleasing it is to see the BBC Northern Ireland mark at the end of the credits, you know, they are great stories, but they're not particularly stories about the people of the places of Northern Ireland. You know, just because the senior copper or the serial killer has a Belfast accent, surely that's not what we're aiming for when we talk about portrayal of communities, is it?
Absolutely not. We're talking about authenticity of the storytelling. I was thinking of something like My Mother and Other Strangers, which told a very particular time in Northern Ireland's history and a particular story with a real authenticity from a writer who had lived there, and it was a sort of very much had a sort of biographical, autobiographical story behind it. So you're absolutely right. I think, again, those things can go hand in hand. It's encouraging enough programming and enough of a creative hub in order to make sure that we can get that authenticity of portrayal, because it has to be authentic. I think the Fall was a really good example of it not being. A lot of the drama that had come out of Northern Ireland until then had been about the Troubles, so everyone was really pleased to see a story where the backdrop was about Northern Ireland and about Belfast, but actually it wasn't all about a particularly, you know, what had become a story that other people had heard so many times. So I think, again, it's about different things for different parts of the country, but I absolutely agree with you. I think, you know, we need to find stories. Again, there's lots of different ways of telling lots of different stories, but we absolutely want to find. You know, I think Aberfan, you know, I think the documentaries and the various films that were made last year, I found that, you know, I think that was such an important moment to mark. It was a big national moment, as well as a very perspective on a very, you know, tragic event that happened in Wales' history. And I think, again, that's a really good example of telling a story with authenticity that reaches a bigger audience. But absolutely, when it comes to fiction, we need to find stories, you know, that feel very authentic.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Gentleman in the white shirt.
Oh, hi, Diolch. I'm Wyn Williams. I edit, broadcast and translate under the name Dilingual. I'm going to ask the question I thought Lee might ask, but I think it's great you've taken half a day to come to Cardiff from London, which is the centre of media in the UK. I'd be interested in your view on the what's felt in the Welsh language sector, particularly about the idea of decentralisation of broadcasting to the Welsh Assembly, which is seen as a good idea by some people here.
Gosh, I that's probably beyond the remit of me being able to to know about the politics of that question. I don't know, Rodri, do you want
Rodri
to help me
could
with
comment.
That one?
Rodri, comment.
As director of content, I think you might need to ask Tony Hall.
You've stumped both of us. Rodri, is there a comment
you
could make on that?
I think the charter's set for 10 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's a debate for another time.
I'm guessing that hasn't answered your question. But is there a supplementary that you want to ask?
I'll
capture
it again.
Okay.
Again.
All right. All right. Gentleman there.
Glyn Matthias. I'm a member of the Ofcom's Advisory Committee for Wales. You mentioned at the outset that next week Ofcom takes over the regulation of the BBC, and it's Ofcom which, to use your phrase, will hold the BBC's feet to the fire. The method by which they will do this is the operating licence, the first draft of which was published today. There's a separate Welsh section in it, and I would encourage everybody to respond to this document. We want the strongest regulatory framework for the BBC in Wales as we can achieve, and it's important as many stakeholders as possible do respond to that consultation.
And just for clarity, it was actually Ofcom's phrase used in Salford this morning that they were going to hold the BBC's feet to the fire.
Even better, even better.
So, yeah.
Was that a question?
Do you want to respond to that? Well, I don't know if either you
statement.
Or Rodri would like to know.
I will be reading it, obviously.
Are you happy that that's taken as a statement? You are? Okay, great. Ian.
Hi, Ian.
You mentioned the freelancisation of television. I wonder, as such a creative person of such experience and repute, whether you think that freelancisation has been a good thing for
the
creativity and the industry's creativity, or not. Maybe it's just neutral, doesn't make any difference.
Well, do you know, I mean, I was a freelancer for years, so I guess as my own experiences, I think when I started out in the business, I always thought, God, how amazing if you got a staff job. I didn't really get one for years, and I just went from, but I really enjoyed the fact that it kept me, I think, on my toes. It kept me moving, working for lots of different people, and I had to, work with my own devices to kind of get the next job. So I found that incredibly rewarding. It's not that I think those jobs where you can nurture and grow, and I think even within a freelance community, and that's why I think it's so important that we all mentor and look after new talent and nurture. And I did have people that I would, make sure that I got to know to get their help and their support and their advice. And actually, I think the creative community, filmmakers, they do really love nurturing new talent, or a huge number of them, because that gives them huge, I think they feel inspired by it as well. So I think the days of people having jobs for life across the whole of the UK has changed, and I think there's lots of pluses and minuses in that, but I think television is moving fast, programming, it's changing. I think you need to be someone who enjoys the change and adapts and responds, and so I think I am a supporter of making people feel alive to that and not feeling scared of it, because I think if you're scared of a fast-moving, changing world, I think the media is a really difficult place to work. But that's not to say that, you get fantastic people who have worked in companies or at broadcasters for a long period of time who bring with them that wealth of experience. So it's really incumbent on all of us to both value experience as well as nurturing new talent.
And do you think within an organisation like the BBC that obviously you have great experience of the freelance and indie sector because you've been part of it, but are there enough people who work in commissioning roles at the BBC who really get what it's like to be out there in the freelance or
absolutely.
Indie market?
Well, a lot of the commissioning teams come from the freelance world, and that absolutely, and I think that's, and obviously our assistant commissioner scheme has been incredibly successful, I think, in the last years, of making sure that actually we have new people coming in, and then some of them have managed to get jobs within the department, but actually a lot of them, Talush has gone off to work for Sky, Adrian's going to Channel 5, we've had great success and people going on to get great careers. And I believe at the BBC, it's not all about hold on. I think it's fantastic when I see someone go off. Obviously, I want them to come back, and obviously I want to work with them again, and if people are talented, I want to be somewhere where they want to come back and do their best work for. But I also think experience, I don't think we should be scared of someone going to work somewhere else and getting some experience and coming back with it. Because working in the commercial sector gives you, it's a lot of hard truths, and it's a lot of, I think I'm a believer in people getting lots of experience and backing that, and not making people feel that it's, if they want to move on, sometimes I go, what a great opportunity. How brilliant. Go and do it. Please come back. Tell me how it goes. Keep in touch. So I'm sure anyone who runs an indie feels that as well. It's really hard. You know, even the best people, and I've sat there so many times going, when I ran a docs department at IWC, knowing they're really good, desperately trying to get the commission to land at the right time so that I could keep those people. But sometimes it's just not possible. But then that gives somebody else an opportunity, and then, it's the way the world goes.
But so that sort of culture of porousness, which can be, fantastically creative, relies on a confident organisation to be able to deliver and
I think
and
we
nurture
have
that culture.
To be a hub for. So we did a new talent event only this week, trying to invite all the people across all the different, whether it was from the writers' room or some of the disabled schemes that we've been doing, from new directors that we've been working with, to get everybody together to make sure people feel that actually the BBC is a place that you can come back to, that we nurture you, that I'm delighted for you to go and do other things, but of course keep in touch, because I think the BBC can and should and does, but needs to do more of, be that sort of hub for new talent. And again, that's part of the way we're trying to work across the channels, where we don't work in isolation, but we really try and help talent move and get more experience and work through. And I think the BBC can really play that role in people's careers.
And so do you think the BBC feels like a confident organisation at the moment? Because it has moments in its history where it's felt very back foot.
Yeah, I think so. I think that charter that we've, I think that gives us a real confidence to go forward. It's not to say we're not without its challenges, and we're not without the fact that we're operating in a fast-changing world. But yes, I think we should feel confident, and therefore I think it's incumbent on us to take these opportunities and make sure that we give the industry that confidence.
Okay, let's go back to the floor. Gentleman there. And then a gentleman at the back. We go to... Yeah, we're doing that in reverse. Gentleman at the back first, by the look of it.
Sorry.
Don't worry, sir, we'll be with you. Yes, please.
Hello, Hugh Meredith from BBC Cymru View, which is the Welsh Language Online Service. How do you ensure that the stories that come from Wales that are broadcast on network television, how do you ensure that they reflect the diverse nature of Wales itself? Because there's always a danger that stories from Wales are similar in nature, predominantly from the M4 corridor. So how do you ensure that the stories that come from Wales reflect the diverse nature of Wales itself as a nation?
Well, I would hope that you would help me do that, because I can only reflect that if I get enough different stories in that show that. But I think it's incredibly important that we don't tell the same stories, or as you say, just a sort of narrow belt. But I think that is by trying to support companies who are in different parts of Wales, telling different stories and different experiences. So I think that is about having a plurality of suppliers and voices.
Are you asking that question because you feel that doesn't happen?
I'm sure that's right. I think it doesn't happen enough. I think that's why Rodri's absolutely said, look, portrayal is a big issue here. And when I say portrayal and diversity, I mean there is diversity within diversity. This isn't just one, it's not just talking about one area. It absolutely has to reflect that.
Yes, because there's a danger. We talk a lot about London. There's also danger in Wales itself that Cardiff becomes that, too centralised in terms of commissioning.
Absolutely.
And
agree.
That can be a danger in terms of reflecting North Wales, West Wales.
But honestly, we're looking for original, distinctive, different stories. So please come with them. Please come with them. The new strand, we also have Our Lives, which is the new nation strand, which is starting in May, which is akin to Inside Out, which is a self-commissioned strand through the nations. And I'm really hoping that that begins to be an opportunity as well to tell stories that are different, because that's absolutely, and I would also hope, and actually Rodri's team, do send us the films that they think that we would like to see, and I want to see all those films that are being made for us to kind of make sure that what you're making, with that 8.5 million increase is things that we could look at.
We've got time for
I absolutely embrace
two
that.
More questions. Gentleman here.
Hi.
And there was a gentleman who had a very vigorous hand wave over there, who I'm going to next. So gentleman here.
John Geraint from Green Bee.
I know John.
We've
worked together for years,
20
haven't we?
Years ago.
Yeah, that makes me...
It's great to hear about the exciting times. It's great to hear portrayal, a as a real issue that BBC's taken seriously. It's great to hear that this gentleman here has got £8.5 million more money to get.
That's why you're sitting closer to him.
It's great that you can talk about the success of the production community here. It occurs to me it's taken an awful long time to get here. It's required hard work, persistence, and campaigning to win these things, which are now self-evidently good things. So my question to you is, my mentor in television always said, the biggest room in the world is room for improvement. So what can we do in Wales better, and what can your teams do better?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, when I don't mean to sound complacent, we know there's a huge job to do. I think we start from quite a good base in Wales, which is, makes me feel really encouraged by it. But I don't mean to sound at all that we, you know, our portrayal and everything that you talked about is absolutely right. We need to. So I would hope, what should we start? I mean, there's plenty of things we could do better, which is get out more, meet more people, talk to more people, make sure that we are reflecting the stories that you want to tell. How do we create that pipeline where you feel your stories are being listened to, where we have a, you know, enough of a input into that? Because, you know, most ideas, it's very rare that you get a bit of paper which just gets sent in with a story on it and we go, right, brilliant, commission. You know, it is often, isn't it? It's a, oh, we like that, but what about that? And that is the dialogue that helps the piece be as good as it can be for the platform or the channel that it is going to be on. And I hope, you know, the more questions I ask about things is usually because I really like the idea. It's easy to say no to things that you don't understand, but it's actually that dialogue which I think creates really good programming. So I think we could definitely, and we must, and I think that's why these objectives to actually not just, it's not just about spend, it's not just about hitting a quota and doing it in a tick boxing way that sort of goes, we've sort of sorted that for this year, done. It's really with the real sustainable intention of making sure that we are growing an industry here and growing an understanding of how we tell those stories. And again, that we're not just telling stories from a small corridor. And that takes talking to people who come from Wales, and it takes having a presence here, absolutely. And I think, again, I think it's incumbent on Rodri and I to make sure that we make sure our teams meet and that we use, we create that sort of dialogue more. And I think it's really important that we come out and visit lots of indies and understand what you think we should be doing. I'd say what could you do better for us is to try and really understand the ambition of what we're trying to do, and I would hope trust that this commitment that we're making is real, because I think if we all start from a cynical base, going, we've heard it before and it's taken a long time to get. Honestly, Tony Hall has made it absolutely clear to everybody this is a real commitment and we really want to achieve it and that we want to do it in a real way. So I think if we could start with a, right, we all really want to make this happen, and I'm really up for you telling me when you think it's not working, not in a sort of telling tales way that's going to be difficult for you, but because we really want to make it work. So I would also ask you to, you know, bear with us, come and tell me when you think we could be doing things better, make sure that you are helping me make it work as a system, because we're all trying our best.
Thank you. And final question, please.
Hi, Charlotte. Gareth Williams from Rondo Media and also from TAC, who are sponsoring the event today. I've got the Ofcom consultation here on my lap as it happens, and a bit of it that leapt out to me now was exactly an extension of what you're saying about the quotas, and proposing also an individual quota for each nation. But seeing, you know, how prescriptive does that need to be in terms of genre and hours? I mean, do you have any further thoughts on that? And how do commissioners respond to that? Do they welcome it? Do they embrace it? Do they like seeing areas of excellence? Or do they feel it sort of frustrates them and limits
on it's really
what
hard
they can commission from where?
Comment on something that's on your lap when it's not on mine. But I think the commitments to the nations and out of London, and we already have very, you know, good targets around spend. I've talked to you about the portrayal objectives we all have too. And I think my commissioning team and the channels absolutely understand that this is a commitment through the charter, and we really, really want to do it, and we have to do it. You know, I don't think we can call ourselves the British Broadcasting Corporation unless we make sure we reflect an increasingly diverse UK, and that is incredibly important. And I think, you know, we've got 10 years to prove that, to do it, to make sure we really make a success story out of that. And all I can say is, you know, yes, we're really committed.
Okay, thank you very much, Charlotte.
Thanks.
Thank you very
thank
much
you.
For your candour, for your warmth and your engagement.
Thanks
it's been
much.
Great
very
to
nice
meet you.
To be here.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.